Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Through 12, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We're going to have everything on the screens for you as well. If not, there's this really amazing app called YouVersion. You can download on your phone or iPad. And then, of course, we have Bibles for you if you'd like that too. But we'll be in Mark chapter 2 in just a minute. But I just want to say thank you for being here today. We know that time is one of the most valuable commodities we can have, and you chose to be here this morning, and so we're thankful for that. And we hope that really, you know, what's funny is we didn't sit everybody down and go, okay, we want everybody to talk about community and talk about family. Isn't God good? How Jesus connects hearts, and every person just kept sharing, and I was like, man, this is God is just moving. And so it was really cool to see that. You know, I normally get excited about preaching God's word, but today's 2-year celebration, and I love this text today. So if I get extra excited, James, you're just going to have to calm me down, okay? Just be like, Daniel, just level out. But let me pray for us. It'll take a few minutes just to pray for a second. And we added an extra piece of staging so I can move now. But before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much. And you are so faithful. God, thank you for each and every person that's sitting in this seat, that they don't realize that they are an answered prayer. God, that for many years we have been praying for the people that are here today and for the people that will continue to come, God. And I just pray that you will open our hearts to your word and to your truth. I pray that I will decrease, God, so that you may increase. I pray that your word prevails and we stand strong on it, God. And I pray that you will speak today. I pray that people will be set free from things that may have been holding them back, God. I pray that you will reveal certain things in their life and even just moments, God, that they can surrender to you. And I pray that freedom arises in this place, in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, today we're talking about together faith and just the aspect of community and how incredible community is. And I believe that God wants to do something incredible. And we truly understand, because when we moved here, we left a church that we had been at for 7 years, and we developed these strong, incredible bonds and relationships. And so moving here for the first time, a lot of you have moved to this area maybe for the first time. And you know what it's like moving to a new city, and you're thinking, well, am I going to meet anybody new, or am I going to be able to connect again? Like, this is almost like I felt kind of funny, because you start like texting and calling people, and it's like a weird backwards way, like dating again, like, hey, what TV show you watch, you know, like, and so it's just starting all over. So you feel the fear. fear, you feel the anxiety and the worry behind it. Like, will I ever find that again? And so we know what it feels like to be alone, to show up and go, am I even going to experience this? Maybe even coming to the church for the very first time. Are people going to accept me? Are they going to think I'm crazy? Are they going to think I'm weird? Would I want to go ahead and level the playing field? We're all weird, right? Like, just, is this going to be able to happen? And this deep sense of community. I believe that God created every single one of us for community. And He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And so today in this text, Mark chapter 2, we see how important and how vital and how much God can move through a collective body of people who have faith and who exercise that faith and come together in a strong way. And so we're gonna look here and to set this up where we are. We're in the book of Mark, and the book of Mark is one of my favorite, because if he was a film producer, he would have filmed probably like an action movie, okay? Because he doesn't go through all the genealogy. He's like, Luke, you got that. You're good with details. He goes right to when Jesus starts his ministry. He's like, here we go. We're jumping straight to the action. And so I love Mark because it's a little more condensed, and most people believe that he's writing the accounts of Peter. And that the Peter may have even spoken some of the accounts when he walked with Jesus. And so some scholars may even believe that. But we see here in Mark chapter 2, that in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus just starting his ministry. So in Mark chapter 2, he's still brand new. But Jesus, right out of the gate, begins to preach the word and starts to draw a crowd. Because when he preaches, they're like, wow, you're preaching like nobody has ever preached before. You're preaching with so much power. You're preaching like you know this stuff. What's funny is he is the word, right? So he could have just been like, hey, I'm here, right? Like, I am the word. But he starts preaching the word, and he is the word. And people are going, wow, there's something different about this person who is preaching. And so then he starts doing miracles, just right off the bat, miracles, healing the leper and all these different things, and showing compassion where other people aren't showing compassion. And people are coming in droves to hear Jesus preach. And so we get to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to start here. We're going to go ahead and read all 12 verses. Y'all guys okay with that? Very good, good. So all 12 verses, and then we're going to kind of pick through it and talk through it. Starting in verse 1, it says, and when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. I just want to set this up real quick, because we see him in this city, Capernaum, and most people believe that this is where Peter lived. And so when he said when he was at home, for me, I love reading the Bible and reading that kind of stuff, like, oh, Jesus had a home. That's cool. Did he have like a room set up? Did he put, you know, anyway, my mind wonders. But we see this most scholars believe that this was the home of Peter, and that Jesus was living with Peter during this time. Jesus from Nazareth is actually kind of far away from Capernaum, but he's hanging out with Peter here at Peter's home. So this setting is right here, and you can see that the disciples are with them. And if you look at chapter 1, some of the disciples are being called to him. Some haven't even been called to follow Jesus yet in this particular moment in history. So we get to verse 2. It says, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. Isn't that good? And they came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, if you are highlighting, underlined, like just sit right there, saw their faith. And it says, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic man, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this before. Isn't that an incredible piece of scripture? And this scene is incredible because he's preaching the word. This is early on in his ministry. And as he's preaching, it's a packed out house. You can't even, the people are sitting out in the yard. They're sitting on the windowsill. People are peeking in the window just to hear this powerful preaching that Jesus is proclaiming. And so we see this and how much authority that Jesus has. And then my favorite part of this whole text is you get these four guys, right? And they have a friend who's paralyzed and he's laying down on the mat and he's probably been this way. He's probably had to beg for money all of his life. And so they hear that Jesus is in town and that he is preaching. And so they get the idea, hey, if we can get our friend to Jesus, maybe something can happen. Maybe something can change. As we talked about last week, maybe his current circumstance doesn't have to be the future, right? Where he is sitting, Jesus can change it. And so their faith starts even right there. And they get him up to the house and it is so packed and they stop. They can't get him to Jesus and they're wondering, oh man, what's going to happen? And they stop. And they're looking around, and I love moments like this in Scripture because I always wonder, like, who speaks up first? Like, who? Like, it's just like a group of men, right, to get together and go, you know what? I picture somebody like Jarrett, you know, like, Jarrett just knows all things. And he's like, he's sitting there, and he's like, you know, this roof, it's just made of clay and some wood, like, we can get him. We can get him on that roof. Yep. We can carry it, right? And then like Brad jumps in. He's like, yeah, man, I will something. We'll get up there. And right? Like these guys just start like just talking together. And this is why women live longer than men, because they're talking about carrying a paralytic man, putting him on a roof and start digging a hole, remove some slats, right? And to lower him down. And so like they're like, oh, here you go. You get up. Yeah, this is a good idea. High five, right? Like, this is gonna be awesome. This is gonna be amazing, right? And so they finally sneak him up, they get him up onto the roof, and all of a sudden they start digging through the clay. Now remind you, Jesus is preaching. Just like a setting like this, right? Jesus up there, and I'm sure it's like way better than anything I would ever do. But like Jesus up there and he's preaching, right? And all of a sudden, these speckles of dust and dirt start hit the floor. And they're just like, what? And all of a sudden, then a hand, right, comes through the ceiling. Like, what is going on? And then a paralytic man is being dropped. What does he do during that moment? Like, because I'm sure it was kind of slow. And he's just like, how y'all doing? Right. They're just lifting me down, right? Like, here I go. Hey, how you doing? Like, just almost like a parade. Like, hey, you know, walk in. But finally, get the man down right in front of him. And I heard one pastor preach on this, and he pointed out, which I thought was pretty incredible. And remember whose house this is, right? This is Peter's house. Like, do we remember who Peter is? He cut a man's ear off when they tried to arrest Jesus. So he is like the one disciple you don't want to mess with. I mean, he's got a pass, right? And he cut a dude's ear off. And so Peter, I just picture Peter in the background like, Jesus, a hole in my roof? Like, are you kidding me? Like, you said come follow you, and now I got holes in my roof, right? And then I'm sure Jesus is like, Peter, just calm down. We'll fix the roof, okay? And this man, they drop him down here, and Jesus takes this moment. I know, because Jesus knows all things, right? Past, present, and future. And he knew as soon as he started preaching, ooh, some guys are about to come of faith, and they're going to lower him through the ceiling. This is the greatest illustration ever for the forgiveness of sins, right? And so he knows this is coming, and he drops, and Jesus just settles everybody down and I guess just keeps going, right? And just being the man he is and the God he is, Jesus just drops and they begin to speak and begin to talk. And Jesus looks at this man and he says, hey, when I see, he saw whose faith? Their faith, not just the man that came, but the four friends' faith that they believed, hey, if I can just get this him to Jesus, everything can change. If I can connect them to Jesus, something can change in his life. I don't know if God will even move, but I know there is a chance if we can just get him there. And they said, you know what? It's crowded. We can't get in. They could have stopped, right? And you're like, well, we tried. It's packed out. Let's go home, right? But their faith said, no, we got to do this. Their community said, no. Whatever it takes to get you to Jesus, I want friends like that, right? Like, I want friends to go, Daniel, you're in a bad place. Look, we're going to pray for you. You've been in the bed way too long. Let's get up. Let's get you connected to Jesus. Let's get you back in the Word. Let's get you back plugged into community, right? Like, at all costs, like, we are here for you. And my prayer is that we are a church that acts that way. I remember one time in our Discover class, somebody said, well, how big do you want this thing to get? I said, as long as we can be effective. As long as we can help, truly help people live in community. And whatever God wants to do, we want to help people where they walk in and go, you know what, I'm a part of a family. I'm a part of a family so much that I wasn't there for a few weeks and then I came back and they were so excited to see me and they were checking in on me and hanging out with me and just wanted to be there for me, and they found out I was going through a hard time and they just rallied together and said, hey, we're here for you. We're walking with you in this. And that we want to be a community that lives that way, a community that says, hey, it's okay to not be okay. Right? Sometimes we feel like I need to get my life together a little bit before I come to church. I need to make sure I get my ducks in a row. But God is saying, hey, come as you are. In my power, I will change you. You can't change you. I can change you. We may can throw some new disciplines in our life, right? But God's saying, hey, I want to change you. And I just want to point out two things that I believe that these guys lived in community just for a moment here before we move on. And I believe that as a community, in order to live this way, you and I must be willing and open to share our struggles with each other, right? These men had to realize something is wrong with my friend, right? That he needs help, and it's not just in the physical. He's bitter about where he has been. He may be angry about what is going on. I just need to get this man to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying walk up, all of a sudden come to church, start walking up to strangers going, whoo, I just got to unload on you, right? Like, that's why community is so important. And this next one here that I want us to see, we must be willing to go out of our way to get to know and love people. One thing I know is community doesn't happen on accident, right? We just don't kind of show up and all of a sudden, boom, we got 30 friends who are connected and hanging out with us. But it's because people who have experienced it, who first has experienced community with God and realized that we have a Savior who is in heaven, and literally beings are created to fly around him while he's sitting on the throne and go, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God, right? And they just over and they just worship and they just praise. And that same Jesus left heaven, out of his way, left heaven and came to this earth and took the human form and went to the cross for you and I. Just thinking, you know, he could have thought it, he could have blinked, he could have snapped and rearranged everything in that moment. But Jesus said, no, I need to go out of my way because I want them to see me in the flesh. I want them to have an example in the flesh of how I would walk if I walked, how I would have compassion, how I would treat people, and importantly, how I would love those who are around me. And so you and I know that, hey, sometimes it takes me going out of my way to get to know people, right? To find, hey, when I'm coming to church, like, doesn't it add so much more purpose every single Sunday and every time we go to work or every time we walk in our home? It's saying, hey, I'm going to go out of my way to get to know somebody this week. Right? Like God is going, ooh, I planted you there for a reason, for a purpose. I'm in kids ministry. I'm going to go out of my way to find one kid and go, hey, tell me about your week. Tell me what's going on. Tell me a little bit about what games do you like to play? Oh, Fortnite? Awesome. Let me tell you, know, like all these different things. And just to get to know each other and being willing to go out of our way. And I love it that these guys had enough relational capital. I love that word. I just kind of adopted it. I don't even know if it's a real thing. Had enough relational capital with their friend to go, you know what? We're going to carry you. You may not feel like you can carry yourself right now, but we're going to carry you, and we're going to put you on a roof, and we're going to dig a hole, and we're going to put you in front of everybody because we believe Jesus can do something in this moment. And the guy go, that's a good idea. Okay, I trust you, right? Like they had to have enough relational capital, right, to be around that friend to go, look, just trust me. You don't feel like it right now. You're hurt right now. You're angry right now. But trust me that if we walk this path, just trust me right now. Just keep taking those steps. Keep moving forward. And then he gets in front of Jesus, right? For you and I to realize, okay, now I've found community. And for us to be willing to go, hey, I really need prayer for this. Can you pray with me? Because something powerful happens when community comes together and says, hey, we're going to lean in on each other, not just my faith, but our faith. And something about together faith strengthens the body of Christ. And it moves. We even see him moving the heart of God of going, wow, remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. And we come together and God goes, look at my children. They believe and love me so much. They were willing to do all of that to get their friend to Jesus, to get him connected. And we see that in an incredible way. And then Jesus, they drop him down in front of him. And because all of this, we see how important it is, how life-changing it is that our faith, I don't have this on here, so if you're taking notes, I'm so sorry. Our faith can lead to everlasting change. Our faith, and when we help somebody get closer to Jesus, it can lead to everlasting faith. And this is so huge of why we live this way, why I'm willing to go out of my way, why we as a church are willing to go out of our way to know and to love people is because when he gets lowered right there in front of Jesus, Jesus doesn't go, okay, stand up and walk. That's what you came for. Head out, right? Now, what does he do? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. I wonder if that man just kind of stopped and was like, Jesus, I know that's important, but I was kind of hoping I'd walk out of here. You know, like, but what he realized, and think about it, like he goes and he drops and Jesus starts first and foremost and he goes, son, your sins are forgiven. And I love it that he started with the term son. And we don't have a recording that that Jesus had ever met this man before. But yet Jesus stops, looks at this man and goes, son, your sins, I see your faith, your collective faith of you and your friends. That you have faith in me that I am God and I can actually do this. That you believe that I'm the Son of God. Son, your sins are forgiven. And it could have, I wonder if this is maybe even the first time he's even had that term spoken to him. Maybe you've had a rough past before when you think of the word father, when you think of the word parents, it throws a negative theme in your mind. But when God wants you to realize that he loves you so much and he wants you to realize that once you become into the family of God, he calls you son, he calls you daughter, and he is a good, good father. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And he is saying, hey, I will work all things out for my good for those who love me. He's saying, once you come into my family, I am working for you even when you don't feel like I'm working for you. Even when your emotions and you're tired and you believe you're all alone, you're not. You are my son. You are my daughter who I love and I cherish so much that I sent my son to die and to raise again, to have a relationship with you. And he's saying, I want you to walk in that. And he tells this man, son, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus starts at the heart. And I've heard it put this way before. Jesus wants to heal the root before the fruit, right? He's saying, hey, I can make you walk. I have the power to do that. In fact, he shows it here in a minute. But he says, I have the power to allow you to be able to walk, but you can leave and walk out of here and still be bitter and in chains to your bitterness and to your anger. He's saying, I want to set you free from the inside out first. I want you to be set free from the internal battle of sin and what sin can do to us. And sometimes we believe that sin can be an innocent thing that just kind of creeps in and we can battle it and fight it off. But if we read in Romans that sin is full grown, right? It gives birth to death. Death to our relationships, death to our heart, death to our thinking, death to our lives. And Jesus is saying, I want to set you free from that first. And he starts with the heart right here to this man. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And then there's some haters in the back, right? It talks about these religious leaders. They're standing in the back and they're not bold enough. They're not brave enough to speak up. You know somebody like that who, like, you know they're thinking something, but they just don't have enough guts to say it out loud, right? They're just sitting there and they're just kind of, I just picture them kind of standing in the back like, right? Like the thing, this is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Who is this man to come and say your sins are forgiven? Are you kidding me? He deserves death. This is blasphemy, which is true if we read the Old Testament. But the problem is, he's the Son of God. And he has all the power and authority to forgive your sins and my sins. And Jesus says, to show you this, I'm going to prove to you that I am the Son of God. Because he says, hey, I can anticipate your thoughts. I can anticipate your heart. I know where you're at. I know where you're thinking. Sometimes I feel like I can, like almost hide from God, right? Like, God, sometimes I catch myself praying almost like I'm convincing God. And God's like, I know everything. What are you trying to, right? And God is saying, hey, just lay it before me. And God hears these guys and hears their heart posture. And he says, hey, you in the back, what is harder for me to forgive sins or for to tell this man to get up and walk? And he says, I'm going to tell this man to get up and walk just so that you know that I have authority to forgive sins. And he looks at the man and says, man, get up and walk. Take up your mat. Take up your bed and walk out of here. And this man who came to receive the ability to walk walks out with the ability to walk, but also his sins forgiven. He walks out free from the inside out in complete freedom. Can you imagine the worship? He walked out of there going, man, it's like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. I am the son of a king. Do you hear that? He called me son. He loves me. He set me free. God forgave me of my sins. I have a relationship with him now. I love Ephesians. He talks about exceedingly and abundantly more. And he says, not only are your sins forgiven, but get up and walk. And we see the power that God has in our life and the basis of community, that we are set free in Christ. And when every time we connect and bring somebody to Jesus, I can't change anybody. You can't change anybody. But what we can do is get radical in our love and getting to know people to the point where we go, hey, I just need to connect you to Jesus. He can change your life. He can redeem you. He can forgive you. He can take everything that you're holding on with your past and you're so angry about and you're hurting and you have this guilt and this shame of what you did last night. But God is saying, bring it to me. I can forgive you of that. I can set you free. And it's like, if I can just get you to Jesus, you can experience that. And may we be a church who's saying, I'm willing to go out of my way to know and love those who are around me. Because I believe God wants to allow you and myself to live free in Christ. And this last part of the scripture, and then I'm going to close. Sometimes I get excited and we just got to keep going, right? This last part is one of my, let's say, second favorite part, because I already said this is my favorite part, so I'm not going to lie, okay? My second favorite part of this scripture, at the end, he says, now if we get to the end, Jared, that last verse, says, pick up your bed and go home. And if you're thinking, like, this man is paralyzed, he doesn't need his mat anymore. Right? He can walk now. He doesn't need to pick up his mat and to roll it up and carry it away with him. If I was him, I'm like, I'm throwing this thing away, right? Like, I'm chunking it into the May River. Like, I am free. I can walk now. And he's saying, no, take up your mat. And I believe that God is saying, when you walk out of here with your mat, you can walk up to everybody you see. Go, you see that mat? I used to lay on it. I used to be able, I could not walk. But look. You want me to do a river dance for you? Like, I can walk now, right? Like he's saying, you can see I've been set free from it. And God always wants us to remember where we came from, not so we're held captive by it, but that we know of his saving grace and his saving power inside of our lives. For you and I, our testimony becomes so powerful because we not just forget it and just move on. God is going, no, you remember where I brought you from. You remember my grace found you when you felt like you were alone and in the bottom. I remember Daniel Cazenet so full of anxiety. I literally thought I was going to die and I had heart things checked up on me and I'm like, I am not well. If you've heard my story before, I went to the doctor. I literally thought I was dying because of anxiety and worry and fear, and I was going to the doctor and all these things, and I finally surrendered my life to Christ. And I tell people all the time, as the moment I did that, I was set free. He freed me from that and I can lean and rest on him, and that is my mat. Right? I can carry that around and go, look what Jesus did. He can do the same for you. Oh, it may look crowded. It may look scary, but we're going to get you to Jesus. We're going to get you to the Word. We're going to get you to community. And what you do and what God does, that's up to you guys. Now, but I know for me, what God holds me and us responsible for is being able to go out and saying, hey, let me get to know you. Hey, how long have you been coming here? Hey, what's going on in your life? Hey, what are the different things? How are your kids? How's your mama and them? Right? Like all these things. But hey, how can I know you and how can I love you? And how can we walk together truly in community? Because when we do that, the heart of God goes, look at my people. They love me. They believe me so much. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get people to me. And I love them so much that I'm going to read these two verses and then we're going to close. I told you I was going to close, I promise, but one of these verses here. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then He calls this man son. In John 1:12, it says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That's what His Word says. And His Word is faithful and it is true. And it can be true for you today. If you've never given your life to Christ before, I hope today you walk out of here and you can say, just like this paralytic man says, my sins are forgiven. My new name is son. My new name is daughter of the Most High King, right? And God wants to heal that part of your life first. And then we start bringing our requests to God. We start living in community. We see Him begin to change us from the inside out. So let's pray together. And if you've never prayed to receive Christ before, I just want to say this prayer with you. You don't have to say it out loud, but you're just crying out to God in this moment. And I want to help guide you through this prayer. And there's no magic or power in this outside of the grace of God, who sees your heart posture saying, God, I need You in this moment. But just pray something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I'm separated from You. God, and I'm living in sin. God, I pray that You would forgive me. Change me, God. Save me, God. God, help me to know who I am in Christ Jesus. I just want to pray with you. And if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to count to three. Just shoot your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Just shoot your hand up because I want to pray with you. So, Daniel, I prayed that prayer maybe for the first time here with me today. I see you. I see you. Praying with you. Now for everybody else in the room, dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You so much for Your Word, Your truth, and Your power, God. God, I pray if there's anything today that we're carrying, that it feels heavy on our lives, heavy on our hearts, I pray that we remember who You are and that we can give that to You today by simply crying out, saying, God, this is what's heavy on my heart. This is what is weighing me down. This is what's changing my emotions and starting to wreck some of the relationships I have in my life, because the fruit that is coming out of this is showing out in different signs of rage and anger and jealousy and envy. And God, I don't want that in my life, and I want You to set me free from it. God, and I pray that You continue to move inside of our lives, God. And I pray that You would use us, that we're at year two, but I pray we are just getting started. God, that You're priming our hearts for a community who is willing to go out of our way to know and to love those who are around us, God. God, I pray that You just bring visions of purpose and hope and power into each every individual's lives, God, that they remember who they are in Christ and that we stand united on Your Word, God. Unify us. May the Holy Spirit just bind our hearts together. We love You. We praise You. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.